My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to an episode of Bad Time Radio. It turns out we've been doing this for 3 years, which is, I mean, releasing episodes. We've somehow been going for way longer than that, which is also, well, best not to think about the passage of time. So anyways, to celebrate, I have crafted a Bad Time Radio RPG, live play RPGs podcast, of course, being the big thing of about 3 years ago. So, you know, hopping on the trend. And I'm going to run the fellas through it. Dan is out because he somehow got a salivary gland stone and his mouth started swelling up about an hour before this recording.
That is the worst.
What is
I know.
It hurts like a mofo.
It's always great to get a medical condition where everyone's like, is that even possible? But yeah. But we do have Brandon. And I have had everyone pick a character from one of our episodes, and we're going to run through a little scenario. And we're going to be playing using a modified version of a game that I kind of love called All Out of Bubblegum. The rules to this are very simple. In this modified version, everyone starts with 5 pieces of bubblegum. Everyone make a note of that right now. Just write down 5 or actually have 5 pieces of bubblegum, whatever. Okay. Whenever you want to do something that isn't kicking ass, you've got to roll equal to or below the number of pieces of bubblegum you have on a D6. If you want to kick ass, you got to roll above. So in the starting thing, 5 or below for anything that isn't kicking ass, 6 for kicking ass. When you fail at a task, you lose a piece of bubblegum. When you get your ass kicked, you lose a piece of bubblegum. And you can also spend a piece of bubblegum to succeed on a non-ass-kicking task. So as the game progresses, it becomes gradually easier and easier to kick ass and harder to do anything else. Until by the end, probably you are all out of bubblegum and all you can do is kick ass. Once you're all out of...
You guarantee every kick ass once you run out of bubblegum, though, right?
Yes, but if you think about it, if the only thing you can do is kick ass, then for instance, if you got put just locked in a room, you couldn't open a door probably because it's very hard to think of a way of getting out of a locked room that's also kicking ass.
So kick the door down.
Okay, fair enough. But it becomes it becomes possible to put you in situations where you can't really get your way out of because there's just you can't work a door handle, for instance.
All right, fair enough.
Basically, you kind of just turn into the Hulk.
Now, can we interpret kicking ass in clever ways, or does it really have to be physically fighting?
It basically has to be physically fighting or something related to physically fighting. So the example given in the rules, which are, of course, a one page, and therefore, of course, airtight, is that field stripping a machine gun would count as kicking ass. But gotcha. I don't think that, defeating someone in a battle of wits and wagers, for instance, would count as kicking ass. And talking with them, at least. And what finally...
You can't, kick ass on your taxes this year.
Exactly.
Okay.
And finally, if you become all out of bubblegum and someone is attempting to kick your ass, if they roll a 6, you get knocked out. But on a roll of 1 to 5, you just, nothing happens at all. So you're being in that state is dangerous, but also you're powerful. But it comes with trade-offs, you know?
I have a question.
Okay, hit me.
Why are you talking like that?
Because you'll find out.
Are you Davy Jones's locker?
Question is, if you attack someone and try to kick their ass, can they sack a piece of bubblegum to automatically kick your ass?
No, because the people you will be fighting do not have stats.
That's where you're wrong, bucko. Have you ever played a game with Rahul before?
Call him Arnold for the purposes of this conversation.
Okay.
But
Arnold Ray.
Yeah, if you successfully kick his ass, he loses bubblegum, and I guess he can kick your ass right back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can he sack a bubblegum?
No, because sacrificing bubblegum doesn't let you kick ass. It lets you not kick ass.
Oh, okay.
Per the rules. Although I guess I might waffle on that. Right. Anyways.
I mean, the worst case scenario of losing in a fight is that you lose the bubblegum, so.
Yeah. Also, I would really, unless you have a very compelling role-playing reason to, I would prefer it if you didn't just devolve instantly into PvP combat.
I repeat my earlier statement. Have you ever played a game with Rahul before?
I actually don't think I have.
That's a lie! We used to play Halo and StarCraft together all the time.
I thought you meant RPGs.
Oh.
We did! We played a Star Wars RPG.
Oh, right. And you and I just went off and like played it ourselves, and you just kept handing me experience points. So when I came back, I was level 5. Everyone else was level 2, and they're like, "Why?"
I'm like, "Yeah, I wasn't a very good DM back then.
Yeah,
in fact, I didn't really know the rules. So
yeah, but that's why Lockridge kept making us make fortitude saves.
I think he just made you do fortitude saves.
No, everyone. He had come to the conclusion that this. Never mind. This is not interesting. Let's play the fucking game.
That's interesting to me.
Yeah, no,
I think Brandon played that too. So we were all there.
So
that doesn't sound familiar.
I had like some Star Wars RPG book in middle school, and we would go to the library after school and had some campaign. Although I think you were maybe one of the few people who understood the rules slightly better than I did, so maybe you got annoyed with. I don't remember.
Also, yeah. We were playing the D20 Star Wars, but the bad one, not Saga Edition, where it's actually fun and cool. The one where, like, basically there were just endless dead levels.
I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was great.
Yeah, because I enjoyed you weren't really playing it right.
Yeah.
Anyways, come on. Let's play a game.
Okay.
So,
Wait. Is that your wish?
Oh, is that who you are? Yeah, can we all introduce ourselves?
I was thinking we'd do it. Sure, go around. Who are you playing as? Brandon, who are you?
I'm Blaine, the sexual Tyrannosaurus from The Predator.
Rahul, who are you?
My name is Nathaniel Demarest.
He's the djinn. He's the djinn from Wishmaster.
That's the name of the djinn?
That's the name of the guy impersonates.
That's his character. Whatever it's called. His skin suit.
Yep. Ronald, who are you playing as?
I'm playing as the professor from the Leech episode.
And Ronald also has a familiar, if you will, of the giant leech, which I will be voicing as my Burt Reynolds impression of, hey, get over here. I want to suck ya. That being, you know, the perfect Burt Reynolds impression.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would be able to distinguish. Like, honestly, I think people would think Burt Reynolds was on the episode.
Yep.
Yeah. You might want to put a disclaimer.
You hadn't said. Sued.
Yep. Okay, so anyways, you are all members of the elite papal investigation force, and you've been called to a meeting with His Holiness the Pope, who has a special mission for you, which he will now brief you on. Hey, guys, it's a me, the Pope. Now, my exorcist, you see, he has gone missing in South America, and I need you guys to go there and figure out what is up. We have the chopper outside. It will take you right there. Also, when I said chopper, I meant airplane. It is an airplane. Anyways, I am losing this voice, but do you have any questions before you set out?
Mr. Pope, is that your wish?
He's gonna do that.
No, I know that
every interaction.
You know, every time we talk, I regret more and more letting a literal demon onto my Pope task force. But God damn it, do you get results, Gene?
Mr. Pope, I just want to say you did a quality job of only doing or of doing at least a full sentence in your accent before switching to Dracula.
Well, I'm a rich character. Maybe I'm also Dracula, but this will not impact the story at all. You go get on the plane.
I ain't working with vampires.
This part is not the good part. Go get on the plane.
I feel a little outclassed here with a sexual Tyrannosaurus and a literal demon.
Actually, I think djinns are, like, better than demons somehow. It's, like, the next level up. Anyways, get on the plane. Come on, guys. Plane.
Okay. Okay. Do you have a leech storage containing device?
I have the ultimate leech storage device of golf clubs.
Perfect.
So no one knows you have a 6-foot leech. We have a 7-foot golf club.
Okay.
No one will suspect a thing.
I do, in a single bound, I jump onto the plane and I do a quadruple somersault.
Okay. You got to roll for that.
Yeah, I think I got to roll for that, right?
Sure. Yeah. I'm going to roll that this isn't kicking ass, although it is cool.
Well, it's probably easier to succeed. So.
I got a 6.
Oh, shit. Oh wow. My god.
You
the one number.
God damn it.
You lose a piece of bubblegum on a pointless roll.
Hey, you don't lose a piece of bubblegum for failing a non-kick-ass
yep.
test, right?
Wait, I think let you me just check. Failed the test. God damn it. Am I literally going to have to... I think it's every time you fail anything, but let me check. God damn it.
I think it's only if you get your ass kicked.
Nah, it's definitely for failing some kind of rolls, but man, right, this rules that it's a kicked. One... Anyone have a copy of All Out of Bubblegum?
It's
here
on
we go.
The Gmail chat. Yeah,
whenever you fail a non-combat roll, you lose a stick of bubblegum.
Wow. Okay.
Wait.
So well, yeah, you're
did
now
I fail?
Yes.
You failed, yeah. Because you had to roll under 5, or you had to roll 5 or lower.
Oh, for God's sake.
So you're now at 4 sticks of bubblegum.
We haven't even gotten on the plane.
Just trying to do a flip on the plane. I'm like, that was pretty embarrassing.
I guess the djinn, he's trying to do a flip, and then he hears someone say something that he could, like, interpret in a way that could kill them, and he gets distracted halfway through and kind of just falls over. But then that person does explode and turn inside out.
Oh, okay.
And you guys that'd never really figure out what they actually wished for, but apparently it was bad.
It was granted, though, whatever it was.
Yep. Okay, anyways. So you're on the plane, take off, it's the papal jet, obviously, so it's very swanky. Take off, goes smoothly, everything's going well until halfway, or you're about 3/4 of the way to your destination when, I'm going to say, Blaine happens to glance through the porthole into the cockpit and notices that the pilot is a good deal hairier than you remember him being.
I've seen this before, gentlemen. I think I know what's going on here. It's... the study of tetralogy. Someone has
I don't
bred
think that's
this...
a word.
Someone has bred this pilot.
Bred the bred pilot? Him. Breded him.
I believe it. See, gentlemen, and I open the door.
And it's a gorilla. It's a gorilla. Yes. And it starts singing opera at you guys.
This gorilla is not breaded at all. Imagine that's a Demarest accent.
I love that you're Demarest, which I would argue is one of the easier voices to do. Is just
it's straight. Not, dude. That voice is hard, bro.
Is that your wish?
Yeah, it's so slow. Like,
but anyways, the gorilla's anyway. Coming at you guys. It's coming at you guys singing opera. What you gonna do? Also, the plane no longer has a pilot.
Okay.
Which
okay.
seems like it's a concern.
I know the original man who created this, and I know he installed a shutdown sequence. And then I sing out, I belt out an aria.
That seems like a not kicking ass. Let's roll and see how well you sing.
Okay, roll for me.
You don't even have a dice roller, huh? Okay.
Well, I thought you were going to roll it all.
You succeeded. The gorilla... the light leaves its eyes and it falls over as its the vocal cords the doctor installed violently erupt from its neck.
Wait. Yeah. I have a monologue to give.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
You defy the order of things to fly without wings. A grotesque mockery of creation. That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, we're on the airplane too, right?
Cool.
Thanks for that.
Gentlemen, I just realized I don't know how to fly a plane.
Yeah, I think that Blaine would be the only one of you.
I can fly this piece of junk.
Blaine, do you wish to know how to fly a plane?
Shut up with the wishing.
Shut up with the wishing.
Okay, I'm flying the plane.
Roll for it. Or I can if you don't have a dice.
Yeah, I got it. Oh my god, I got a 6.
Well.
Well, you lose a piece of bubblegum.
Crash into the mountainside.
Yeah, the plane is now crashing. So, Blaine, in spite of this weird anomalous fuck up is still a pretty good pilot. So he manages to bring you down in a controlled crash, and you land right in front, or about a mile from where you believe the Pope sits, a great spiritual evil. And you're in front of a the entrance to a tunnel, and based on your in a very sheer mountainside, and based on the direction and everything, you think that going through this tunnel might be your best bet to get to the great spiritual evil in time. Also, there's a clock. I didn't mention that before, but there's a time limit here.
Okay, where's the clock? How do we know what the time limit is?
It's just, it exists, and it's what I need it to be to make you guys go into the tunnel.
A tunnel of the earth's skin. A dark, silent womb promising secrets.
That's not how we talk.
I like it better this way.
Just kind of better than the actual dialogue.
Just speaking in an inscrutable sort of semi-high.
Okay. How far is the tunnel hole from us?
It's like 10 feet.
You do another flip.
do another flip. Or...
Also, the gin never did backflips in the movies.
I don't think you did any kind of acrobatics.
This time I do a running triple jump into the hole.
Okay, roll for
it. Pretty badass, I gotta say.
Yeah, roll for it.
I got a one!
Okay, you do a
yes!
You do a really cool jump, and everyone's impressed.
I look over at Blaine, and I'm like, are we supposed to do that?
At least it was better than last time.
I just kind of cautiously walk towards the tunnel, look around to see if anyone's enforcing me to do some kind of triple jump.
You feel a little bit of a weird. You feel a little bit of a weird compulsion as you're walking, like maybe you should do a jump, but you push it down. You push it down.
Okay.
Make a fortitude save, though.
Oh, God. Let me roll to see if your leech does a good jump.
Okay.
Does it have its own bubble gum? You can spend it however you want.
Nah, I'm not doing that. I'm just gonna have it have a set bubble gum value of like 3, so it's got a 50-50 chance of doing whatever.
Cool.
And it rolled a 3, so your leech jumps out of the giant golf clubs you guys were smuggling it in and does a truly impressive triple reverse somersault and then looks back at you guys and goes, pretty good for a guy with no legs, huh?
It says that?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You showed up by your own leech.
I say, gentlemen, do you see the impressive performance of tetralogy?
I do. So what do we see in the tunnel? Is it just darkness or?
The tunnel is dimly lit. You see that it is lined with laundry washing machines. However, they have all been welded shut. And on every single one, there is a sign that says no step family allowed.
Dear God.
That's going to be a great for like everyone on the who listens to this, because that is a bit that I cut thoroughly from the actual episode.
We've made enough jokes about it. Let's move past this before we need to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, fair enough.
Let's move past this, gentlemen.
A tunnel of machines. A mockery of creation.
Why is everything a mockery?
Everything a mockery of creation.
So, can I just assume you guys proceed down the corridor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. As you're walking down the corridor, you enter a room, and then suddenly the door slams shut behind you, and a monitor in front of you flashes to light, and you see a very familiar looking puppet on the television screen. And
oh, boy.
It addresses each of you, and it says,
Hello, Elite Pope. Intervention squad, or whatever Lawrence said your name was. I am Jigsaw. For so long you have sinned, but now I will put you through fiendish games to set things right and test your mettle. First up, you, leech doctor, whose name I don't think any of us know. For so long you have bred a giant leech and then like let it eat people very cautiously. Carelessly, I want you to explain your decision to this man. Convince him of the righteousness or at least acceptability of what you did with the leech, and you may live. Otherwise, I'm going to blow this entire cavern up and bury you all alive. And wasn't a very good jigsaw, but still. And then
Light comes on in front of you, and on a platform, you see a very boring looking German man wearing a mask. And he just sort of stares at you guys like, hello? Was is passiert? Except he goes like, hello? What is up? In the worst and slowest accent you have ever heard.
I say, excuse me, sir. In lieu of an excuse or a justification for my actions, will you just accept a doubloon? And I flip him a gold doubloon.
That's okay, roll for it. Or I'll roll for it.
Yeah, roll for it. Roll for it.
Roll to just buy off the guy from 2025, the world held hostage by a virus. Oh, you got a 3. And probably this guy who like was literally willing to die for his faith just allows himself to be bought off.
I don't think these DCs are very accurate.
Yeah. That's worth a pretty penny. I bought a cup of Joe last week with one.
Well, in my land, we do not have money because the socialism is everywhere. It is all over the place. So I'm not quite sure what I would do with this, but it is pretty.
Maybe you can buy some special fish.
So why'd you get bought off? Why'd you let...
Because right. of the mechanics of
trying
the
to walk Ronald's successful role.
You see, because he's going to donate it towards Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
So the man just looks. I was really hoping you would engage with the premise board, but the man just looks up and says, Jigsaw, in the wandering accent you've ever heard, Jigsaw, whatever this man did, it is cool. They may pass. And Jigsaw. The monitor pops on again, and Jigsaw's like,
well, technically you succeeded, but I think we all know that was some bullshit.
And then a door opens in the wall, and he says, proceed. You have 30 seconds, or I will blow up those charges.
I just want to note that I only did it that way because it's so obvious that my actions were completely justified.
But the fish guy looks at you and he's like, wait, what actions are we talking about here?
Hey, well, I'm getting out of the room.
Yeah.
I walk out of the room.
I walk out of the room and I'm saying, I bred a giant leech.
What the fuck?
I stay in the room and I talk to the puppet guy. I say, puppet master. Grotesque architect of suffering.
Mockery of creation.
What is your wish?
I would like for you to go down the corridor.
Your wish is granted. And
wow, so powerful.
Something bad happens to him.
Yeah, he has to talk with you more.
Okay, I head down the corridor.
Okay, as expected, you will reach another room, and the doors slam shut, and the room starts filling up with gas.
Jin, you're up next. For so long, you have twisted wishes and perverted people's desires. Now, you must grant this man's wish straight up without murdering him, or else this anti-Jin gas that I am filling this room with will surely kill you. You have 30 seconds. Live or die. The choice is yours.
And on the platform, you see a sort of little bald man. You could sense that he was a ginger before he lost his hair. Bit overweight, truly regrettable beard. And he's just standing there opining to no one. Oh boy, I'm just so in love. I wish I could know everything about her. I want to know what's inside her head. I wish I could know what's inside her head.
Well, he didn't say, he just said straight up. He didn't say.
Freebie.
Don't kill him. Give him what he actually wants.
But he said don't kill him.
Or get gassed, either way. I'm cool. It's not, you know.
So there's a door that's locked us in this room?
Yep, two locked doors.
Two locked doors, and what are the doors made of?
Titanium? I don't know.
Okay, like how thick?
Pretty thick, but I mean, also,
it's like the door from Resident Evil.
Can I shoot through them with my minigun?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You don't think, you could try if you want, although that'll be a kicking ass roll. Rahul, you could just grant the wish.
I've seen this guy grant wishes, he always kills them. We're not gonna survive this.
Very well.
Okay.
He wants to see what's in her head.
Your wish is granted.
Well, what does the wish do?
It's granted.
Need I say more?
An X-ray like arrives in the mail, and there's like a growth in the center of her brain.
God damn it!
Well, it's not as bad as a Kurgan.
Yes,
Jigsaw's like, well, a little restraint, but I am still going to kill you for that because it was very clearly not what he wished for.
What?
That is what he wished
that
for.
Was totally oh, it's not.
I'd like to object to that, sir. I pull out a diagram and start marking.
Somehow I have a poster board with exactly what the guy said and the rules of the wish and what Jigsaw said to do.
Okay, I guess roll to try to rules lawyer Jigsaw.
Okay. Roll for me.
I have a really good chance of this.
Ronald.
What?
It's a six. You did not rules lawyer Jigsaw. And you lose God. A piece of bubble gum.
All right, that's it. I'm getting out of here. Like, I'm going to shut up door with my minigun.
Okay. Roll, and this would be kicking ass. I think you need you lost one, so you're at two or better.
I rolled a three.
Sorry.
I needed a five or six.
Well, you don't lose a bubble gum, but...
Why not?
Because it's combat. You don't lose him for... Or because it's kicking ass, you don't lose him for failing to kick ass.
Oh, yeah, only if you take damage. Okay.
Okay, so, Jin, would you like to try to get out of this conundrum?
Yes.
The others have both failed.
I talk to the guy, and I say, don't you wish you could comfort her?
I guess? What? That's very vague.
The door's open, and he's launched, like, out of a railgun straight down the corridor. By some supernatural force that just launches him to wherever she is.
Okay, let's roll for this. And I guess, are you trying to kill one of them by doing this? Or
no, I'm not trying to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, physics, but you know, physics will cause them to die.
I think if you were trying to kill them, it would be kicking ass. If you weren't, it wouldn't. That's my take on what the role would be.
What if I just launch him and whatever happens happens?
If he survives, he survives. I mean,
okay, then roll for not kicking ass.
That's beyond. That's the hands of fate.
I mean, it's not. It's the
three, game. Baby.
Okay, you blast this guy through the doors. Okay, but there is a problem, which is that opened the door to get out, but it kind of didn't open the door you actually need to get through to progress because you launched him out of the mountain.
That was the wrong door, idiot.
But I guess good news, the gin gas, anti-gin gas is like less concentrated.
So like I shot the door to try to get out and he threw him through the other door. Is that what just happened?
Okay. He said he threw them towards where the woman is. I GM's fiat. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, she's probably not in the middle of the mountain.
Yeah.
Don't you wish the other door was open?
You know what? I do not.
Your wish is granted.
And then I die.
I guess roll to see if you can grant Blaine a wish. I'm gonna. Yeah. I think this is kicking his ass somehow.
I don't know. I was kind of joking because he said I do not, and I was. I mean, it's I would say it's GM fiat whether or not I can interpret. I do not want to make a wish as a wish.
I wish to not make a wish. Let's see if you succeed.
I turn to Mr. Jigsaw and I say, Mr. Jigsaw, I don't believe we can fulfill the requirements any longer as the man has been blasted out of a cannon. May we progress?
Jigsaw is just like, okay, you can go through, but only because I think the next room is going to kill you.
And then the door is open.
Fair enough.
Should have tried from the beginning.
Well, it wouldn't have worked then because you could still technically do the wish or the trap.
That's right.
Okay. I'm already through.
Go through. Doors open, you know, all that. Door slammed shut behind you. Then
Blaine, For so long, you have just fired your minigun willy-nilly without any regard for ammo conservation or even whether you were really, likely to hit anything.
Damn straight.
For this challenge, I have taken away all but 5 of your bullets. There is a predator somewhere in this room. You must kill him using only those 5 bullets. If you do, should you fail, he will do predator stuff to you and, blow your chest out or the thing that happened to you in the movie. Live or die, the choice is yours. And,
Well, the predator's going to wait for me to use the 5 bullets.
Suddenly, you got them 3 dots on you, Blaine.
Okay.
You got them 3 dots.
I'm going to shoot from the direction that I think the dots are touching my body from.
Well, first of all, the predator just attempted to attack you, but he rolled a 1, which attacking you is definitely not, so he misses. So you dodge some plasma.
Okay, so I see where the plasma comes from? Or is this too short of a time span?
Nah, go ahead and roll.
So this is kicking ass, I guess. Oh, yes. God damn it, I rolled a 1.
You spray your minigun, I'm going to say 2 shots. I looked those things up. Wikipedia said they could fire 6,000 rounds in like a minute. So...
Yeah, you only gave him 5.
Yeah.
5,000?
Yeah, I'm on the monologue. The hunter stalks its prey.
A mockery of creation.
A mockery of creation.
Okay, the predator's going to attempt to kick your ass again.
Okay.
It rolled a 2, which is still not sufficient. So I guess you get 1 or maybe 2 more shots tops. Do you think you can do it?
I'm gonna charge in the direction that it was coming from and try to tackle him.
Okay. That's pretty roll for it. Let's see how you do.
5.
Oh shit, you tackle that our predator. You tackle him real good. You're totally wrestling with him now.
All right.
He's going yeah! You know how them predators do. All
right. Now I'm going to try to position the minigun in his chest and make a final shot.
Okay, I'm going to say roll with advantage because I'm introducing new mechanics.
I got a 5 the first one, so.
Okay, yeah, you totally shoot this predator 3 times in the heart and it falls over dead.
Ah, well done, Mr. Sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah, and Jigsaw goes, thank you so much for engaging with the premise of this trap.
Was that so hard?
I'm so lonely.
No one wants to play.
No one visits me up here.
And then the final door opens, and you see the other side of the mountain, and there's a little puppet there, and he rolls up through the door a little bit and says,
good luck with whatever it is you're doing. I have no idea what's going on. You were in the area and I thought I'd mess with you later. And then
I run out there and I grab him by the scruff of his neck.
Okay. Roll to try to kick his ass. Also, what? You're the djinn with magic powers.
I got a 3. So
you failed to kick.
God damn it.
Kick the doll's ass.
So the all-powerful genie just runs after the doll. He tries to tackle him, but he gets the distance wrong and just falls on his face. Puppets.
He just slowly goes away on his stupid penny farthing.
Who is of course, and the puppet, of course, and I don't even got to tell you that, is going like, do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
All right.
So anyway. You're on the other side of the mountain, and you see a building in front of you. And
what does the building look like?
It's just a straight up cathedral, except all the crosses are upside down and there's a bunch of fire, and braziers and stuff around it, except the fire is black.
Pretty standard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just black fire.
Yeah. A couple of pentagrams. You're used to this, having been on the Pope's elite assassination squad. Although, the djinn is, of course, reminded of hell.
I got something to say about this.
What does Blaine have to say?
Makes Cambodia look like Kansas.
And I don't even got to tell you, there's a bunch of creepy chant and shit happening. Just everything you think would happen in a be on a building like this is on a building like this.
Do we see any people?
Well, there's chanting and shit.
Yeah, but do we see people making the chanting or just hear it?
It's coming from inside.
What's our task here again?
Just you're trying to rescue the Pope's exorcist and combat the great evil that the Pope sensed.
Oh, okay.
Now, do I get any bonuses for being close to evil?
No, because this game doesn't. Like, you know the mechanics I explained in 5 minutes? That's all the mechanics there are.
Like, so, plus two.
Why would you want a plus two?
I meant a minus two.
Just constantly roll with advantage.
Okay, so how far are we? Is it in rock throwing distance?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I throw a rock.
I throw a rock at the building to like make a sound.
Okay, I guess roll. All
right.
You have to roll for that? Like, what is the success?
I mean, I'm just trying to make you guys roll because I think it's funny. Okay, yeah, you hit the building with a rock and you break one of the stained glass windows.
Oh, nice. Does anything happen?
Nope. Just the chanting keeps going.
It doesn't even pause for a second.
Nope.
I say, I think I know what time it is. And then I take the golf club apart and I say, sick him, boy. And I send the leads through the hole that Raul made.
Sure thing. You hear a great deal of racket and clamoring and well, that's very rude. And then 5 minutes later, the battered corpse of your leech is unceremoniously thrown through the front door.
No, leechy. Oh, did he have a name?
Don't worry, gentlemen. It survived TNT explosions before. I'm sure it's fine. And then I put it back in the water, and it looks noticeably healthier already.
Okay, roll for to revive your leech.
Okay.
A mockery.
Roll for me. how is it a mockery of creation?
Are you kidding me? That's a definition of a mockery of creation.
Now, Mr. Blade, would you call this cute little guy a monster?
No, I'd call it a mockery of creation.
I rolled a 5, so you failed to resurrect your leech and you lose a piece of bubblegum.
Parasite.
Okay, Mr. Blaine,
you're at like, I think you're at 3 now. Does that sound right to you, Ronald?
Yeah, I'm at 3.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Blaine, I have a question for you. The water didn't seem to heal it. Could you spare a bit of blood?
I'm not giving my blood to some 6-foot leech.
Well, I don't think the djinn has any.
Is that your wish?
Asking the djinn for blood is very much like, let's fuck me up, fam, of the witch.
Don't you have blood?
I don't trust that guy.
What's wrong with your blood?
Look how small and frail my frame is compared to yours.
Hey, that's not my problem.
He's got a point.
All right, fine.
Okay, Blaine is now going to attempt to resurrect.
Make a fortitude save.
Yeah, make a fortitude save.
Roll to not kick ass.
I rolled a 6.
Oh, shit. Oh, there's a piece of bubblegum, and the leech remains resolutely dead.
Okay, all right.
What the fuck was that?
I'll leave you here with your leech child and go investigate.
I put it back in the golf club, which I'd throw over my shoulder, I guess.
Wait, I also have a question. Do I still only have 3 bullets?
No, you got all your... You have as many bullets as you can make ass-kicking rolls now.
Okay.
Oh, just blast the building, dude.
Okay, sure. Try to kick the building's
ass. I'll kick the building's ass.
Oh, yeah, you got the big old gun.
6.
Wait, should we do that? We're trying to...
Well, I already tried, and apparently the leech lost.
Trying to save this guy, right? Not somebody. Like level the compound.
If he dies,
I mean, that's pretty much how he tries to save the hostages and predators. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Are you actually going to try to kick the building's ass?
Yeah, I guess
you rolled a 6.
Okay, roll for it.
I did roll a six.
Oh shit! Awesome. Okay, yeah, you just blow the hell out of this building. You take down like the apse or whatever the fuck, like all them little side buildings, just totally leveled by like your enormous.
Mini gun cock.
Exactly. Yep, just making the subtext. Anyways, you blast the hell out of this building, and the chanting stops, and a guy just shouts, hey, stop fucking with my ritual, guys! God damn it! God fucking damn it! Try to do one satanic ritual, one fucking thing, and the goddamn liberal media, the government, and the fucking family courts. They take it all away from you. Anthony, don't get me started on the fucking divorce lawyers.
I know a couple things about cancel culture. I was canceled before.
With explosives. And so a 6'5", very overweight man in like flannels and comfortable pants comes like barreling out of the building. And behind him, he's towing another 6'5", fairly overweight man. Although that overweight man is dressed in like clerical like garb and a silly hat. And you notice as they approach that they both have the exact same face. And okay, what the fuck do you guys want? Seriously, what's going on? Why did you blow the hell out of this church?
We
the
are
vampire pope
to find
us.
Our exorcist.
Oh, this asshole? Yeah.
Yes.
gentlemen, is there a mirror here, or am I seeing the same face twice?
I don't know what the fuck
that's
you're talking about.
That's not how mirrors
about.
Work.
Yeah, the muscle man makes a very good point. That is not how mirrors work.
Do we know what the exorcist looks like? Like, do we recognize him?
These guys both look exactly like the exorcist. You're pretty sure the guy in the clerical robe is the exorcist because that's how he dressed.
Okay.
Why does this other guy have your face, Mr. Exorcist?
He's gagged.
He's gagged.
A mockery of creation.
A mockery of the ritual you call speech.
Okay, I run over and I ungag him.
I mean, you could try.
I try. I got
The guy just sort of effortlessly bats you away.
Wait, no, I got a 2. Oh, you're telling me that happens?
I just rolled for him to kick your ass as you approach. This game doesn't have an initiative system, but yeah, he just effortlessly bats you away with one swipe of his enormous meaty paw.
Wow.
So you take a point of bubblegum.
What? Shit, man.
He kicked your ass!
I'm going to kick his ass with the minigun.
Okay.
1.
You don't kick his ass.
No, I don't.
you just open up with the minigun, but like after like about 30 seconds of spray, he does the Pulp Fiction thing where he like checks himself and then he looks at you like, what the fuck?
My accuracy is limited to building size targets, apparently.
Yeah, you spray everywhere, but it's somehow nothing hits him.
Okay.
You guys are so fucking rude.
I get up and I do the, so I jump super high in the air and I jump off an eagle. And then I come down and I do the final move from Kung Fu Hustle on him.
Okay, roll.
6.
Okay, yeah, he gets kind of mashed up, although he sways a little bit and then pulls himself back up from the middle of the creator. And of course, the Pope's exorcist is protected by the power of God, so he is undamaged by this enormous move that you for some reason attempted to do on him. What? Seriously, what the fuck? You know what? After I'm finished with this asshole, I'm coming after you guys. This is way worse than what he did to me.
What are you doing to him?
Oh, now you want to talk after you like open up with a minigun at me for 30 seconds.
Just grant him a wish. That kills him, right?
I pull out from my bag and I say, Mr. No Hinges, I have something that you might enjoy. And I just bleep an air horn at him.
What a dick move.
I guess roll to kick his ass.
Okay, roll for me.
That's a 2.
God damn. How is that a kicking ass? That's a non-kick.
Because you're trying to assault him sonically, I think.
I'm trying to annoy him.
Okay. Okay, you know what? You succeed at annoying him then.
Does it send him into a rage?
I mean, he walks over and tries to hit you. And he rolled a 6, so I guess he succeeds at just punching you.
Oh, shit, dude.
Yep, you lost a piece of bubblegum, Ronald, because you annoyed Johnny No Hinges.
Okay.
Brandon, I will explain to you here that we watched the film Unhinged starring Russell Crowe a while back, and then I started calling the protagonist Johnny No Hinges because he's never named in the film, and I thought it was funny.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good response to
that. Sounds about right.
Okay.
Okay, I say, will you answer our question regarding what you're doing?
Well, sure, if you'll go like 30 seconds without whatever the Buddha thing was or shooting me or honking horns at me. Anyways.
Is that your wish? God damn
it. I mean, it is, but I don't want to say it is because I feel...
Your wish is granted.
Okay, sure. Roll to kick his ass with wishes.
Six.
Okay. Yeah, you... I guess how... Okay, so this can't kill him because you guys got to kick his ass three times to kill him. But, sure, what do you do to him with the desire not to be shot or have Buddha moves done to him or have people honk air horns at him?
He turns to diamond.
What?
Because he's totally invulnerable. So nothing happens to him.
What?
Okay. Nothing will happen to you forever.
He looks down at his newly diamondified body and then looks up back at you and gives you like a defiant, what the fuck, like kind of gesture of like shaking his fists, but also shaking his head in puzzlement. And then he tries to kick your ass and he fails because he's not used to his new diamond body.
Okay.
So he kind of just swings at you, but he can't quite get the angles right because it's really hard to see out of eyes made out of diamonds.
Yeah. And I mock him. I call him a loser for that.
Gentlemen, don't call him a mockery of creation.
Oh yeah, I call him that too.
Anyways, you're saying, Dr. Leech?
Gentlemen, now that he is in a diamond form, may I suggest a bit of resonance? And then I put a little cone around the air horn and fire it again.
Like an air horn's going to shatter diamonds.
Okay, try roll to kick his ass. Let's see if this improbably works.
Okay.
Oh, right. I got to roll for you.
Oh yeah, I was going to say, did you roll for me? I thought you were just rolling for everyone. I have dice.
It's a four, so I guess you managed to explode Diamond John Donnie just an air horn.
I turned to Ronald. You fool! We were interrogating him.
You turned him into diamond.
Yeah, but if you weren't listening to the DM...
I don't think we could talk anymore.
Yeah, I'm really glad I didn't have to try to do a bad accent that's also through a throat made out of diamonds. I can't imagine I would have done well with that. I wasn't doing well with it before he got turned into diamonds.
Somehow he lived from turning into diamonds.
Well, you didn't say it killed him. He's still a diamond man, you know?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, when the guy turned into a mannequin, he died.
Yeah, but when the guy got turned into stained glass, he was still alive until the djinn walked through
him. Yeah, that's a good point. I guess it's inconsistent.
He kind of just does whatever he thinks will make be worse for you.
Actually, the
mannequin was still alive, too, because her eyes rolled up.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Yeah, anyways, you ungag the exorcist, and he goes, yeah. Thank you for saving me. It's me, the Pope's exorcist.
Mr. Exorcist,
yeah.
What was the evil force that the Pope sensed?
Well, so you see, I'm driving on my little Vespa, and I'm trying to pass this big old truck, and I hit the horn, beep, beep, beep. And then suddenly this guy is like chasing me, he's chasing me all around the Roma, he's doing all this crazy nonsense. And then he like smashed into my Vespa, and he made me murder, I think my brother, I think was the movie. And then he say, because you have honked your horn at me, I'm going to destroy the thing you love most, the Catholic Church. So he takes me down here to this nexus of satanic power, and he says he's going to sacrifice me on the altar of darkness in that there building, and that will destroy Catholicism. But then you killed him, so I guess that won't happen. Thank you.
Oh. So, gentlemen, it seems another successful mission for the Pope Squad.
I do not trust this exorcist.
Okay. Let's see if there's any loot. Any doubloons.
Yeah. Can you prove? You are the exorcist.
I mean, isn't that his flawless accent enough for you? I mean, we've known each other for years.
I'm not sure he knows anything or anyone.
What is the Pope's first name?
That's a trick name. He goes by just the Pope. It's a trick question.
I turn to Blaine. Is that right?
Why would he?
I don't know nothing about this vampire pope.
His first name is Vlad. I don't know.
Okay. Is Exorcist like his hands are tied together?
Yeah.
Okay, I re-gag him and I take him to the building.
Okay, you take him back into the satanic altar. Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Was this part of the mission?
What you doing there?
What you doing there, sailor?
The djinn just stopping mid-stride to mock his teammate.
I'm not what sure you doing really there, sailor?
I am investigating this exorcist claims.
I mean, you go inside and there's definitely a thing that would probably be called the Altar of Darkness. You know, it's like 4 feet high, 6 feet wide, and like a bunch of pentagrams and goats and shit carved onto it. Onyx and, you know, ruby set into it, all that stuff. Appears to be carved out of one single piece of jet black marble.
Wow.
Mr. Jin, this looks exactly like your bedroom.
It's very beautiful. Perhaps we judged the other guy too soon.
Did you re-gag the Pope's exorcist? I think you said you did,
yeah,
right?
Yes, I did.
What an asshole thing to do.
I don't trust him, man.
Okay.
He's up to something.
Okay, what do you do next?
Okay. Instead of doing the full sacrifice, I just sacrifice...
like a pinky or something.
Yeah, like a pinky, yeah.
Okay.
Just partially just to have Catholic Church.
Let me look up how much a pinky weighs.
Ooh.
Much That's does ominous. A 1 gram? Pinky weigh?
1 gram?
I don't know.
Okay, so...
I'm so outraged!
I'm more confused on what your hang-up is. Do you not know how much a pinky weighs, or do you not know how much a gram is?
I believe it's a gram. A gram is like a pinch of sand or something.
All right. That doesn't sound
You just destroyed... Okay, so you slice off his pinky and say some dark djinn shit, and then 0.08% of the Catholic Church is destroyed.
How do I know that?
Hopefully it's the pedophile part.
Your djinn sense tells you that, like, I don't know, two cathedrals fell over.
Oh. But as a djinn, I'm trying to harvest souls, so...
I mean, it depends on what you're which movie you're doing.
Why are you on this team again?
And if you're curious,
why the Pope trusted you.
A pinky weighs 11 grams, and which is about 0.024 pounds. He weighs about 300 pounds, so the math actually does really work on it being about 0.08% of the Catholic Church. Actually, no, I think it's 0.008%. Of the Catholic Church.
Okay.
So congratulations.
Okay. I seek to charm my comrades. This mockery of creation.
Okay.
What are we talking about here? What's the mockery of creation in this?
Would be better off sacrificed to earn me some souls.
Is that your entire pitch?
Mr. Jin, I'd like you to re-examine the contract that binds you here, which I believe requires you to grant a wish to the people who die, and not just kill them remotely through some satanic ritual.
Oh, no. Is that true?
Asking him if
I'm
that's true.
I'm in massive breach of contract right now.
You okay. Briefly remember that actually you're not really supposed to do anything that someone doesn't wish for.
I go up and I look at the table and I say, I think if I rearrange some of these pentagrams, we can sacrifice him for a bountiful reward in doubloons.
Okay, sure. Roll not kicking ass. I'll roll for you.
Wait.
You can do that.
Yeah. Roll for me.
You roll the 3. How many pieces of bubblegum you at?
2.
You're down to 1 piece of bubblegum and you don't successfully harness the power of Satan to get to blue.
gentlemen, I think I messed up the math here somewhere.
Yeah, I think we all lost the plot here.
You know, Mr. Leech Doctor, this guy's got a lot of blood. Maybe we could use him to resurrect your leech.
Huh.
Your best friend.
Why?
Yeah, can we go ahead and roll on that guy to see if he can resurrect?
I mean, sure. Do you want me to roll your last piece of bubblegum?
No, it's not me attempting, it's him. It's Mr. Pope's exorcist.
I think if you're going to try to force him to do something, yeah, one of you is going to have to roll for it.
Mr. Exorcist, would you like to save a life?
the Pope's exorcist, I mean, you just cut off his pinky, so he's not really like talking too much.
What's
right
more
now.
Valuable, Mr. Exorcist, your life or the life of a 6-foot leech?
He's just screaming in pain and intensely upset by this situation.
Oh my god.
I put the leech down and I just have it lap up some of the blood that already came out.
How can it lap it up? Dead. It's friggin' dead.
I run its face in it.
What are you gonna have
like a
to
sponge?
Look, you can feed the Pope's exorcist to a leech, but you do need to roll for it. And probably Ronald shouldn't because he'll fail.
I can succeed. I got a
1 in 6. I got this.
Okay, do you want to? You can also spend your last piece of bubblegum to just auto-succeed, but then you will be all out of bubblegum.
I guess this is a bad idea because, you know.
Life is going to be hard.
We're supposed to bring this guy back.
It's already hard.
I don't know if he'll die.
All right. There's probably going to be another opportunity to feed the leech.
Yeah, let's feed him to the Pope. Or feed the Pope to him. Once we get our reward. All right, gentlemen, return to the Vatican City.
Okay, and
okay, all right. Sorry.
Whatever, it's fine.
We walk back.
You guys are walking out of the tunnel where Jigsaw had those completely unrelated traps, there's a freeze frame. And Taking Care of Business starts to play, and then the camera briefly flashes to each of you as the credits roll, and you each get to strike a little pose. And I want you to tell me about the pose you strike. Brandon, what pose you strike?
I strike a pose with my minigun out.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, in the movie, I think he literally just turns, does the, oh, I didn't see you there to the camera, and then smiles and tips his hat.
Probably.
Anyways. Yeah, Jin, what pose are you striking for the camera?
I strike a pose where I'm doing like Thor's hammer onto the ground. And I would also like to do something so kick-ass as part of this pose that I crack the earth in half.
Okay.
A mockery roll. Of creation.
I guess roll to see if you end all life on the planet.
Is this kicking ass or not?
That's kicking ass.
Got a 6, baby!
Okay, well, Leech Doctor, what pose do you strike before everyone dies?
Yeah, so I start to strike a pose, but as I get stunned by the explosion that the djinn causes, and then the leech comes out and feeds on my body.
Okay. That's your pose! Just you dead in front of the camera again.
Okay. Cut the camera 3, cut the camera 4.
The leech rears back, turns to camera, says, "That's good eating, folks," and then winks. And then we fade to black.
I was the leech the whole time.
I knew it.
I should have known that this would somehow end with Rahul destroying the planet. I was thinking a quick round of recommendations and cautions if you guys actually have them, but if not, we can just call it a night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or we can call it a night. I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't have any recommends and cautions myself, but if you do, well, let's do it.
Okay. One sec. I don't actually have them either, but I'm going to get them.
Oh, is that your wish?
God, wait, you're not the djinn. I can just say yes and it'll be fine. Yeah, it's my wish.
I don't know. Don't you feel kind of weird, though, about making wishes now? I mean, what if, you know?
You know?
What
if Rahul's a djinn?
Yeah, what if I'm a djinn?
Okay, so my recommendation is I rewatched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse recently. And, you know, That movie really holds up. I have serious problems with that Enter or Across the Spider-Verse movie, but Into the Spider-Verse really is just about as good as you guys remember it. So totally, totally worth rewatching or watching if you somehow haven't seen it. And then my caution, although this is a light one, is that I saw Maxine in theaters and it just didn't work for me. And I can't really explain why. It just, I wasn't vibing with it, you know? And, this isn't a good enough, like, I don't like it for X, Y, and Z reason, and therefore you shouldn't see it. But I think that if you didn't vibe with X, there's a pretty good chance you won't vibe with Maxine either. So, you know, might not be worth seeing.
Anyways. I don't remember. Did you see Pearl or did you comment on Pearl before?
I keep going back and forth on whether or not I like Pearl so much that I've eventually kind of just decided that I am glad I saw that movie once. I will probably never see it again. And it is so strange that I can't, like, really have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
I think that's what I land on. Like, there's really good stuff in there. There's parts of it that are really boring that might not be boring to other people. And the idea of what if a 40s melodrama had explicit sex and gore is so strange that I'm glad that he got to make it. I think you talked about it some the last time on our last episode. Was that about where you landed, or did you like just straight up not like it?
No, I think I landed there where it was very mixed, like up and down throughout the whole movie. There was some stuff that, like, there were a couple of pieces of acting that I thought were really well done, but it was like kind of slow and some parts were very weird. Like, yeah. I think the monologue at the end was maybe the best part, but I also thought it was going to go a little differently. So I was a little disappointed. I don't know.
But it is, there is no other movie on earth like that. And there probably will never be another movie like that. And there are very few movies you can say that about. So it has merit, I guess, for that. Yeah. But
Did you see Maxine, Brandon?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you liked X, though. So I think there's a pretty good chance you like this because it's a lot more like X than it is like a Pearl.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, Ronald, do you have something?
I do. Yeah. So I've got two recommendations this week. The first recommendation I have is a TV show from 2009 called The Mentalist. This show I was like a little unsure on when I first started it. The premise is essentially like Psych. It's pretty much the same premise in a lot of ways because it's a guy who used to pretend to be a psychic and now he like helps detectives. He doesn't really hide the fact that he was faking it before though. But the interesting thing about this show is that it actually has maybe the best long-running procedural villain that I've ever seen in a show with Red John. He's a very, very scary and powerful enemy that they pretty much have no hope to beat as far as we've seen in the show. I'm like three seasons in. He will murder long-running characters, and there have been like several times when stuff happens you know, when like it's kind of a normal zany episode like you'd expect of like Monk, but then like some character is dead at the police station and it happens out of nowhere. So it has these really interesting moments of kind of horror mixed in with like mixing what is like your standard procedural formula. I find it a really interesting show. Plus the lead actor is really good. The main character, the mentalist, he is Patrick Jane.
What is Red John? Like, what is his deal exactly? I mean, not with that too much.
Spoilers. Yeah, the premise of the show is that basically before the show started, Patrick, who is like pretending to be a psychic, he goes on a TV show where he says he can read the mind of Red John and he knows what he wants and he can identify him. And when he gets home, Red John has killed his wife and kid and left a note that said, this is what happens when you pretend to be something you're not. And he's like so scarred by that, that he like now won't engage with the premise of being a psychic anymore. And in fact, basically whenever they run into people who like have claims of, you know, supernatural, he tries to debunk them or he shows that they're frauds or whatever. Which makes sense as for his character, but it's also pretty interesting because throughout the show, there's little snippets and like questions that the show leaves ambiguous of whether or not supernatural stuff exists, that I find very interesting. And Red John throughout the show, they don't know anything really about him. And whenever he's in an episode, like it's usually because he just fucks some shit up really bad. So he's a really cool villain. So yeah, The Mentalist. I definitely really recommend it. I'm really liking it so far. I think it's a pretty long show, so maybe towards the end it might dip, but I'm like most of the way into the third season. I'm still having a great time with it. Yeah, and then my other recommendation is a movie from, I think it's from 2022, called Babylon, directed by Damien Chazelle. This was an interesting movie for me because this movie came out not that long ago, but I didn't even hear about it when it was in theaters. I read about its release a little bit, but like apparently it kind of got stuck in a really bad release time. Like COVID came back at that time and just like nobody saw it. And this is a huge budget movie. Like I think, you know, I saw something that was like the estimate for the movie total budget was like $200 million, which is crazy for a non-action movie. Now, this movie wasn't incredible. I didn't like it as much as Whiplash or La La Land, but it was, I did enjoy it. And like the spectacle of it was pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see what you can make with $200 million than when it's not just like, you know, Marvel. Like there's these giant house party. There's like at the very beginning, there's this giant house party. And at one point, like an elephant comes into the house and there's just like so much crazy shit going on. And it's this really long cut between all of the different characters and the elephant. So it's just like showing off like how many people they can fit in into a long cut where they probably had to film it like, you know, 20 times or maybe even more. I don't know enough about how Damien Chazelle's filming style. But so really cool stuff. The characters weren't incredible and the story was like a little bit, I mean, it's Damien Chazelle, so it's like a little bit Hollywood dick sucky, but it was still like a really positive way. It wasn't like too annoying, so I had a good time with it. I liked Babylon and I'd recommend it. That's it for me.
Anyone else have anything? I have one more if not.
I did have one. So this is a survival reality show called Alone, and it's a little weird because it's been going on since 2015, so I think they have 11 or 12 seasons. But I've only, the one I watched was season 8, kind of randomly. But it's the premise is that a bunch of people, like 10 or 12, I think, are all sent to roughly the same location. I think the season I watched was Alaska or Canada, somewhere in there. And they're all sent to somewhere by themselves. I don't know exactly how much area they have, but they're not going to run into each other in the area that they can travel to with, like, you know, a day of walking. And they just have to survive with minimal tools and equipment for as long as they can, and whoever lasts the longest wins. It was interesting because they kind of gather people who are self-proclaimed survivalist experts in one way or another. And so it's interesting to see the different ways that people tackled, like, even just like building a shelter. There were a lot of different approaches, and some of them were surprisingly advanced considering they're only allowed to build to bring like they're not really any tools. They can bring like a knife, something for starting a fire, and like a few other things, but you know, someone actually built like a cabin that had like a door and like a fireplace and chimney and other functioning things, and there was some kind
so
of
how like long a, do they last
I think it was in the neighborhood of like 4 to 6 weeks.
Dang.
Maybe the absolute last two were longer than that. I think there might have been a long tail to the last two. But there were some people that were out in like the first week or two.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because like the season I watched, there was a guy who had a heart condition, and so immediately going into like having no food and exerting himself a lot trying to like gather supplies and build a shelter, like he just overexerted himself and thought he was having a heart attack and freaked out and pushed the button, you know, understandably. Dang. And there were a couple other things like that. They also had a rule where they were near a lake, they're near a lake, but they weren't allowed to use, I forget what they were called, but a certain type of fishing net where like you string it out like a fence.
They weren't allowed to use that for X a number of weeks. And I think it may have been like a legal thing in the area, but they probably also timed it so that fishing was harder early on. But then if you make it to a certain point, fishing gets a little bit easier and you have a little bit more sustain to those like contestants. And actually another funny thing that I'll say to end this is that one of the guys went in, he was, you know, he was well prepared and knowledgeable, but part of his strategy going in was like, I'm just going to put on a lot of weight and be really fat so that if I can't find food, I am going to last longer than someone who's skinny. And
did that work?
It worked pretty well.
Yeah, what? I was going to say, that sounds like it'd work.
Yeah.
But you have to deal with the fact that like you're fat and have a hard time surviving, like doing physical stuff.
Yeah, I'd say he was in the 250 to 300 pound range. He didn't really seem to have a problem being active.
Surprisingly.
I don't know.
He was like swimming and running around.
Oh, you watched it too?
I don't know how, but I've seen this exact season.
Well, you just heard about extreme weight gain and were intrigued. You're like, are we talking mass? Are we talking definition? What's the story?
Yeah. How massive are we talking? No. He didn't look like, you know, massive, honestly, but he was a big person.
Yeah.
This is not an original idea to me, but I wanted to lay something on you guys. Would the show be better if they didn't tell them, like, as the show exists now, when it's the last person to leave, they tell them and then that person goes home? What if you didn't tell them so they just last as long as they can, and then when they're out, they find out if they were the winner or not? Would that make it better?
There's already a lot of material there. I think it might get boring at the end. I don't know, though. Yeah. Everyone's so done at the end, so...
Yeah, also, like, the season, again, this could be particular, like, to this season, but the guy who won, he was, like, pretty set. And he probably could have gone on for a long time because of the circumstances he ended up in. And so that might have been kind of boring.
Yeah, I mean, is it all right if I say what he lucked out on?
Did he find what?
I guess so. Yeah, it's just the one season.
He made a kill, and he had like a bunch of meat.
He made a kill. You're so ambiguous about what he killed.
You know, like they have like camera men and they like
he killed a mammal.
So we get to just watch him slowly die of kuru. Hell yeah.
No, that's right. Right, Brandon? That's he made the deer kill.
Yeah, yeah.
And that sustained him.
Yeah.
So my recommendation in kind of a similar vein is, for no readily apparent reason, I got super into Cutthroat Kitchen. And I think that's the best cooking kitchen reality show. They get five chefs in, or four chefs in. They give them each $25,000 at the start. And then they'll like say, cook me X thing. You've got a minute to go into this stocked pantry and get whatever you need. And then you have 30 minutes to cook the thing. But then they'll come out with like these absurd sabotages and the chefs will bid on them. And then if they get it, they can make one of the other chefs do it. So it'll be like, hey, the only heat source you're allowed to use is this camp stove. Or, hey, the only pan you're allowed to use is this like one with all these weird like holes in it that's battered all to hell. Or you're only allowed to cook in a microwave. One of them, they made the guy somehow do all of his like cooking in, I believe it was a coffee maker. It's nuts. They'll like take away all of their utensils and make them do everything with tinfoil. It's very fun because like these are so low stakes that even when someone loses, it doesn't really matter. It's very quickly edited. It's hosted by like that Alton Brown guy, and he like seems to be legitimately rejecting like all these like reality like TV tropes. At one point, a contestant tried to banter with him, and he just shouted at them, "Silence!" Which was very funny. And I also think that it's a pretty good demonstration of cooking skill in a way that I don't think like Gordon Ramsay shows often are, because like these chefs have to get insanely creative to get like anything on the plate. Cause you know, they had one where a guy had to like season a savory thing he was making entirely using weird flavors of jelly beans. And he somehow like produced something edible. And it was like, that seems way more impressive to me than anything I've ever seen someone do on like Kitchen Nightmares or Hell's Kitchen or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that sounds pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's well worth checking out. And the episodes fly by too. And when someone loses or wins, it's not going to be life breaking. So it doesn't really matter either. So you don't have to feel bad. Yeah, anyways, that's all. So I guess, Raul, do you have a stupid plug?
I can't believe it. I mean, I can't believe it. But I have an actual plug. I came across this guy on YouTube, and he's like super into right to repair and what manufacturers do with their phones and other appliances. And he's, he's really interesting to watch. His name is Lewis Rossman on YouTube. I don't know if you've run into him. He's like an angry guy, always ranting about like how manufacturers, like, for example, how Apple makes their stuff hard to repair, and then they at the same time they claim that they're making their devices last as long as possible.
So they have those like, and they legitimately, if you don't go through like their authorized repair process, they'll do this stupid thing where they send you like this insanely complicated kit and instructions to do the repair, and it's very clearly like they're trying to make this as much of a pain in the ass as possible so that you'll only use their authorized repair things. It's nuts.
Yeah. And there's just a bunch. There's just so much that I wasn't even aware of. Like, you know, it goes. He gets so technical with it. He'll be like, "Yeah, this motherboard and in this series of MacBook Pros, they have a defective cable, and they never fixed it, even though they knew about it." And it's just like constant stuff like that. It's pretty cool to watch. So yeah, Lewis Rossman on YouTube. Recommend it.
Oh yeah. And from all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you. And, role-playing games. Sometimes they're fun. And sometimes a guy says, a mockery of creation, over and over and over. And by the end, you think it's really funny, even though you can't explain why. Anyways, bye.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna gather it.